When I was in high school, the obligatory science project, you know how these are, right? And so I struggled with some topic I wanted to explore. And so I began to research whether or not an electric generator, once started, could be self-regenerating. Because I began to think, if an electric generator could be self-contained, if it could basically regenerate its own power, imagine the energy efficiency and imagine the lack of dependency on other sources if we could just figure out a way for electricity to reproduce electricity. Does that make sense? You know what I discovered? It's not possible. Why? Because when you begin to study the law of thermodynamics and the law of entropy and those, you begin to realize that everything is slowing down. And it's not possible because it takes a restart, a refire. That's the way an engine even works, right? Those spark plugs are constantly reigniting the flame because without it, it's going to continually slow down. And if we take that simple idea of science, I'm not a science brain. I realize the limitations of my mind. But when we expand that further, we realize that everything is slowing down. Everything is dying. The world is constantly, stars that once shine bright grow dim and another star begins to shine in its place. The planets, if it weren't for some outside power, would spin out of orbit. They would begin to slow down. If we were any closer to the sun, we would burn up. Any further away, we would freeze. But there's something, what could it be, that is keeping us perfectly spinning and sustaining in just the right rhythm and speed and pace and distance. When we look around us, we realize that living creatures are dying. The world is decaying. It's a reality of life. It's unavoidable. And it's a reminder, believe it or not, of the power of Christ. Because we're going to see when we begin to study Scripture this morning, we continue this study through the book of Hebrews and realizing that Jesus is better. One of the reasons that he is better is because I may begin to understand that electricity can't regenerate itself. Oh, but Jesus can regenerate a heart. He has the power to sustain life, to keep the orbits in motion, and to bring life where there once was death. To bring hope where there once was decay. And when we recognize the reality of sin, the reality of death, I can then see and celebrate the contrast in the work of Christ where we can celebrate life and the power of Christ at work in us. So are you ready? We're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. If you're taking notes, either in your journal or you're filling in the blank, here's the first thing we need to see. A constant in the middle of change. Something is constant in the middle of change. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, I believe. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. My life is not all that different from yours. When I look at this point of time and I rewind the clock, I see moments or seasons, maybe more aptly a word to use, of change all around us. If I even look at just the last 25 years of my life, my married life has been that season, right? Hillary and I will celebrate our 24th year this November. So for 25 years, I can look back to those seasons and I see constant change. It's for those of us with kids, it seems to run at a blip of a speed, doesn't it? So fast. But when I look at, though, and just in that 25 year, I see all this change of of kids and stages and diapers and God help us and, you know, all those stages. But the one constant in that has been this loving relationship with my wife through that. Now, way more significant, it just establishes this thought or idea that when we go through seasons of change, there are some constant things, some consistent things in our life that kind of, they almost give us an anchor to pull back to. We understand the reality of that. And that's not largely a theological concept, but it just illustrates the power of something to be constant when other things around us are changing. It may be a change of work or culture when we can come home and we have that constant, that stable force where we can feel warm and safe. So here in our text today, we see a much more significant constant. It points to Jesus. And these verses here, we're actually, the writer of Hebrews is using a quote all the way back from Psalm 102, verse 26. And we're reminded from that prophetic statement in Psalm 102, we're reading it again here in Hebrews chapter 1, of the power of Jesus' single act of atonement. And the significance of Jesus' one-time death, sacrifice, bloodshed that paid the price for our sin. And in that one single act, it covered the sin of all of humanity, all from the past, the present, and the future. We see here a reference to Jesus being actively involved in creation, in displaying his power through the formation of the planets and the earth and the seas. We saw a little glimpse of this all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our image. And we're reminded of Jesus' power. Psalm 19 reminds us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And in contrast to Jesus, all of creation represents this life cycle from birth to death. And in fact, if you were to do an archaeological or a geological dig, and we go from layer of earth upon layer of the earth, we see that over the years, just one city has been built upon another, especially if you go like to perhaps Israel, and you see mounds of cities, and the earth is just one on top of the other. One generation has built on another of birth and death and birth and death. This time reveals this layers of life, death, decay, and hope. But in the midst of all that constant change, here's a big theological phrase. Jesus is transcendent. He is outside of it. He is above it. Jesus simultaneously has the power to exist outside of space and time, above and outside of death, and at the same time, be involved in my life and yours every single day. We do not serve a God who has no interest in its creation. Jesus desires relationship. God desires engagement. The Spirit speaks to us every single day. So actively involved, Jesus displays his glory all through creation, but his transcendent power over creation demonstrates that he has the control over all things. And in love, he relates to you, he relates to me, he interacts with his creation, yet at the same time, he doesn't change. Another big theological word. Transcendence was the first one. The second one is immutable. Immutability. Jesus doesn't change. He doesn't age. He doesn't waver. It is absolutely truth that we serve the same God that walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In fact, later in several months from now, we will learn in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I will read this verse now, though. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Can I get an amen? There is hope for us in that. He is the rescue for sinners. He is the strength for every believer. In the storms of life, He is the anchor. He is the true north for any and every navigator. We cannot avoid decay. We cannot avoid death. We cannot avoid suffering and struggle and anguish and pain and persecution and famine and sword. We can't escape that. But we can rest with confidence in an anchoring for our souls in Christ who does not change. He is transcendent. He is immutable. So out of the gate, I'm going to give you the entire sermon in one sentence today, and we will pull the thread out a little bit further. You and I can take comfort in the constancy of Christ when all around you is changing. I realize that we just used a very superficial example of whether it be marriage or home, that when things are changing, how good it just feels comforting it is when we can just, oh, it's my bed. You know, just that, okay, there's something consistent. Well, expand it so much greater when life is constantly changing and it seems to be moving at breakneck, warped speed. The comfort, the rest we can find in Jesus, who is able to exist outside of that time. He doesn't change. Hey, listen, your family and your kids are changing through stages of development. Our culture all around us is changing at breakneck speed as the influence of the enemy begins to impact the worldview of those around us. Some of those changes are just a result of natural growth. Some of those changes are the result of sin and nature, and they're hurtful. We can look back through history and we can see the rise and fall of nations. The Roman Empire rose and fell. The Byzantine Empire rose and fell. The British, the Alexandrian, perhaps even the American. I mean, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. But the kingdom of God will last forever, because He is the King and He doesn't change. Therefore, here's where I can begin to take comfort. Jesus is better than my circumstances. Jesus is better than my crisis. Jesus is better than His creation. You've got problems and you've got pain. Jesus is bigger than your pain. Jesus is bigger than your problem. So I can take comfort in that anchor, in that constant, in His power, in His transcendence, in His immutability. I can take comfort and rest in that unchanging reality. Though the earth give way, though the mountains would fall into the sea, what does He tell us in Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 3? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. What a powerful word. Think about it. Everything is swarming and changing and falling, and in the midst of that, Selah. Rest. Take comfort. You and I, let me just pick on me. I must be careful not to set my trust or my affections on temporary things that inevitably will change. And instead, I've got to take comfort and anchor my life on the person of Jesus. Why? Point number two. Christ will complete what He started. Oh, this is good. Christ will complete what He started. Let's read verses 13 and 14 and see what insight we can learn about Him and as it applies to my life and yours. And to which of the angels has He ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? At first glance, it's easy to maybe read those verses and think the significance is about God speaking to his angels. No, no, this is about Jesus. Let me help us see why. I'm going to personal confession. I'm really good at starting things, and I'm not so good at finishing them. In fact, the guys on staff, they joke around me. My nickname is the ideas pastor. I will have a new idea every 5 minutes. Guys, wait for this one. This is the best thing ever, you know. It just comes with the territory, I guess. And they've learned to just kind of let it sit. And if it comes back, then maybe it's a good idea. They just humor me. But here's the reality of it. Our work is never finished. I mean, there's always a new idea. There's always a new project. There's always something else brewing. If you doubt it, just watch the pile of laundry at your house. It's never done. It just, I thought I was done, and it just came right back, right? It just never ends, and our work is never finished. What does that have to do with anything? When we read this simple verse of Scripture and we understand it, what it's saying about Jesus in the context of Jewish history, it says everything about him. It speaks to Jesus' power to complete, because the specific word here that we read in verse 13 is God speaking. He never said to his angels, hey, have a seat here at my right hand. He never said that to any priest, just have a seat. He only said that to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is better than all of that. In fact, you can read this later on your own. If you flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, you can read that later this afternoon. Hebrews chapter 10, here's what we realized. When the priests would come in on duty to serve for that day, they were not allowed to sit at all. And it was symbolic of the fact that the sacrificial system was never complete. It had to constantly be done. And so to recognize or symbolize that, while on duty, they had to constantly stand. Jesus being set apart, when he paid the ultimate sacrifice, it was a once and done, once for all, satisfying and atoning for the sin of humanity, past, present, and future. Therefore, God was able to say to him, as our priest, take a seat. You have finished the work. This is huge. Jesus's completion of the work, it completed the need for a blood atonement once for all. This enabled him to do what no other priest was able to do. So when we read this verse at first glance and we think it's talking about priests or it's talking about angels, no, it's talking about Jesus. Jesus is able to complete and do what they were not able to do. In fact, he goes on to speak to the angels, comparing their need to minister as the spirit of angels. And in fact, Alan Singfield did a fantastic job last week helping us unpack a little bit of our understanding of angels, because so much of Hebrews chapter 1 speaks to that. In fact, if you missed that, you can go back and check that out on your own. But the reality for us to understand here is for those angels, their job is never finished. For all of eternity, they will be worshiping and serving God. They're never finished. Jesus was able to complete what they were due. What they are not able to do. And in fact, the previous verses quoted from Psalm 102, now we see a quote from Psalm 103, specifically teaching us and understanding the reality of what Jesus was able to do. And in fact, if you begin to analyze the work of angels and their ongoing work, we read in Revelation chapter 1 that they have a job to guard the church. We read in Revelation chapter 12 that they have a responsibility to announce the decrees of God. We read in Matthew chapter 1 and elsewhere that they have the work of being a messenger for God. The important point is that their work is never finished. They're constantly serving, working. But Jesus, able to do what no one else could do, completed the work. So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for us when we understand who Jesus is and what he has done? Going back to the first point, Jesus doesn't change. It's really important. And Jesus finishes what he starts. And he has a beautiful work in you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us this. I am sure of this, that he, Jesus, who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That's a good word. Though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the sea, he is my ever-present help in trouble. Jesus is a finisher. He's a completer. And I understand for me, and I can make the assumption for you, that we're a work in progress. And the pain, the anxiety, the fear, the stress, the insecurity, whatever it may be that's consuming our thoughts and our minds, he's working on us. And as we allow him to shape us and mold us into the person he's crafting and called us to be, we can be confident, Lord, even though this purging or this pruning in my life may be painful, I'm confident that you're going to complete what you're working in me. So I encourage you this morning, take a deep breath and be willing to take a long, hard look into the deep crevices of your soul that you try to hide and ignore. Allow yourself just for a minute to be reminded of the deep thoughts in your mind that you try to suppress and pretend that they're not there, but you know that they are deep down inside. And it may be because of an insecurity is rooting that, or there may be a deep scar there that you often try to hide. Jesus doesn't change. Jesus completes what he starts. Therefore, because he is transcendent, because he is immutable, Jesus can heal that hurt. Jesus can heal that scar. Jesus is better. Jesus doesn't change. And in fact, he wants to change you. Jesus desires to continue working in you to make you look more like him. Jesus wants to take that scar and shine through it so that others can see his healing power. Jesus wants to take your success and shine through it so that others can see the glory that only God deserves. Jesus is better. Jesus wants to make you better, meaning to look more like him. And I can rest and find comfort in that truth today. And it impacts how I view myself. It even impacts how I view you. Let's just be honest. When I begin to recognize and rest in the work of God in my life to change us, I can then realize he's working in your life too. Maybe then I can find some patience. I can find some understanding. I can find some love and trust that he is working all around us. He's working in my today. He's already working in your tomorrow, and it hasn't even come yet. He's already preparing a way in advance of things because he's a way maker. I can find comfort in that. When you get surprised by that phone call, it didn't surprise Jesus. He's already there going ahead of you, preparing the way for you, present always for you. I'll be honest. This is a truth that is, when I see it on paper, I'm like, wow, that's good stuff right there. But when the rubber meets the road and life comes at you at 100 miles per hour and you're just gasping for air and you feel like you're underwater and you just can't escape the pain, this is difficult to rest in. And this is a moment where I can see the truth of Scripture. I can read it. This is helpful. Really practical application. This is a helpful prayer exercise in my prayer to say, Lord, I see in your word that you're unchanging and you're trustworthy and you're constant and you're able to complete. I trust that. Help me to live that today. Help me to walk in that confidence today. I can pray through that scripture in the morning to keep it in the forefront of my mind. Otherwise, it's really easy to lose sight at the pace of change. You and I can take comfort in that constant presence of the Lord as he completes what he started. And he's still working on me, And I know he's still working on you. And I can't wait to see how we together trust and walk in that confidence to watch what he does in and through us. Not to make us great, to make us more like him. Not to make our name known, but to make his name shine. Can we pray together? God, we love you. We truly do want to give you honor and glory, and we recognize the power of your transcendent, immutable life. Lord, help us to rest in that, to find confidence in that, to let that be our source of peace so that we can navigate the uncertainty of life with some true north, because you don't change. You're the same yesterday as you will be forever. And we celebrate that truth. Give us the confidence and courage to breathe and walk through it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I give you the opportunity right now to talk to the Father. Confess to him. Perhaps you've walked in doubt and you've trusted in yourself rather than trusting in him. Or perhaps there's a situation or a circumstance in your life that you want to just tell him, thank you. Lord, thank you for your demonstration of your presence when I was navigating change. And thank you for proving yourself to me. Let him know that today. God, we rest in you, we love you, and we thank you that even now as you speak to us and you move in our hearts, that you would help us to find rest and comfort in you. And as we leave this place, I pray that we would walk with confidence, with our shoulders back and our head held high, because we know that it is in you, through you, and for you that we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.